Blog Talk Radio. Because of the lion shall break every chain.
Brother Drew, and it only means order. And see, you see how you get thrown for a loop in esoteric knowledge just behind a word. And in esoteric, it's just a simple word that means order. Now, when you put the word of there, that's when it gets dangerous. Because when you put the word of there, with that word of goes a system. Meaning that the next word after that word, you find out whose system and whose order that you in. So for us to get a better understanding, the order and the system that we in is up under the double-headed eagle, Scottish Rite Mason. That's the order that we are in. So we'll know what order we in. See, the protocol of the Elder Zion says, keep everything Masonic. And Masonic means esoteric knowledge because it comes with what they first taught you. They first taught you reading and writing and arithmetic, not arithmetic, but R-I-T-E-matic. Matic means the teaching of writ, R-I-T-E, means a secret organization. And in our case, the arithmetic is that of the double-headed eagle, Scottish Rite Mason, the great seal of the United States of America tell us that not only that, is that you can't go to no major city in the United States or small town, Brother Drew, and guess what the address gonna be? 720-729, that you ain't gonna find this building. Now in Dallas, Texas, you go to 720 Harwood Street to see this building. And in Crockett, you'll go to 720 Spring Street. That's where I'm from. And I find that simply amazing, Brother Drew, of this system that we've been put up under. And this system's carried with it, education system that we get at a very early age because, see, you had to understand, when we put all three of these books together, Brother Drew, I find it simply amazing. When we once read in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a book of Proverbs, parable, and Ecclesiastes means preacher, that's in Greek. And we know that this book came out in 1881. Well, in 1881, the Grand Sanhedrin met in 1889. Other protocol of learn elder design. That's 8 years before this book came out, and what was put in this book, you play for a time, you would see it after 100 years. What was put in this book, you would see it appearing in America, all over the world. You would see what's in this book because they had stuck to a 500 and 27-year-old book as we speak now, an order and a plan that started in 1489 by Rothschild. And that at this time and period, they put in the protocol of the learned elders of Zion exactly what they would do to the Goheen in America. And that's his brother. They brothers. These are brothers. So when we read these books, it said in the book of Ecclesiastes, in many books, was a whole lot of knowledge, but it would, you and me reading many books would be a weary like hell, and that after all the reading that me and you have done, Brother Drew, you and I come to the conclusion that you had to take the commandments of Abinyah and the law, the laws of Ammonyah and the commandments of Ammonyah. That tells you at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the last, it says you'll come to a conclusion that after me and you done read all of these books that me and you done read and I done memorized, and you done memorized, Brother Drew, that we'll come to one conclusion that you can't break them 12 laws of nature and the commandments where the Christians live up under grace from those laws, and all the world live up under grace from these laws in the United States. You live up under grace from these laws. Only a very few people that book read that would live up under those laws, and we know that for a fact because you and I, we are very few, a very small remnant of people that lives up under that law, that conclusion. We take these three books, and that third book is the future of the American Negro, written by Booker T. Washington. You can get that book online for $7, those of y'all listening. Go back into the archives. That book was during the period, and it was wrote in 1877, from 1865 to 1877, was the Reconstruction period in time after the slaves, the emancipated slaves, got free. It took them from 18 to see what they were going to do with you. See what they were going to do for the niggers, what situation, and how did all these niggers that they had on the plantation, see what we're going to do with the niggers. What we going to do with these niggers that we done free down now. This is what the Doublehead Eagles Mason, that the Duncan Masons didn't want these niggers free. But we won the war, we going to free them so that the Duncan Masons won't get power, because these fools is running around talking about the South is going to rise again. That's back in that time. So 2016 is many years after that time, goddammit, the South rose again through the Democratic Party. So we know this now, but we're going back in time of when this genocision got to start dealing with what the protocols say, that from 1889 to 1989, what you would see in America. We just reading a book and analyzing, breaking down this, following the instructions, because the key word in this book was to follow instruction, not teaching. See, it's a difference between teaching and instruction. Instruction comes from good teaching. But if you ain't got good teaching or wrong teaching, you can't get good instruction. It ain't no if and ands about it, because when you deal with the 12 laws of nature, the second law of nature, Brother Drew, is the laws of opposite, meaning you either is or you ain't. And the third law is balance. So you can't be a in between right and wrong. You had to know right and wrong. What the fuck was right? What the fuck was wrong? It wasn't the one right and a whole lot of damn wrongs. But it was thousands of wrong, but it was only one right. And you had to first know who you were and what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a protocol of the Goheen. That's what me and you dealing with. So the protocol of the Goheen, according to this book, was an incorrect protocol, bad teaching. Now, we go back into how they put coded this in the Bible, this 1881 Bible, Brother Duke, it's a history book. And they put it in this, and they put it to all the Zionist Jews in all the countries. They put this Bible in all of that language, every language, because each Jew that went to his country, he became whatever Jew of that country, a German Jew, Chinese Jew, American Jew. You know knowledge. I've been on this teaching once before. So this King James Bible, as we speak now, is in every nation and every tongue of the civilized world that you find a Zionist Jew in, because it's a coded history book of what would happen from here to here, this period of time, this 100-year time. See, 1889 was a 100-year period. 1990, that's 10, so we 27 years into this thing, and you can see where it ain't gonna change. 72 is 9, so we 27 years. This is why you see all the shit that you see right now. That's a shock to everybody, how the people act, everything. They told you how they were going to genocide you because they kept straight to the path or the order of the elders of Zion. And the people that believed that they was Gentiles and they didn't look like the Gentiles that was up under the Goheen teaching stayed in their path. You had to understand the story of Abraham. I find this very unique, how they coded this in their Bible, Brother Drew. The story of Abraham. But first, Brother Drew, we got to understand what a school of thoughts is of mind. That's something that's taught to you by your parents. And our mind, here's what has had to happen, Brother Drew, to get out of genocide, is that me and your mind had to realize that our parents had taught us wrong. That's the story of Abraham. And see, we had to realize that those are instructions in this book. Because see, we take this book, and this book is a hell of a storybook of what happened during slavery all the way through the 28th. I can break this shit down because I study it now. If we follow instructions, the key word is follow instructions. So when I started following instructions, this is what I'm seeing after a period of years of following instructions, not teaching him instructions, what the fuck you supposed to do and what the fuck you supposed to not do. You follow the instructions. And on my grandmother's Bibles, I never will forget, Brother Chu. Big Mama say, just for the hell of it. Because, see, Big Mama was a cake maker. I mean, she was a cook, and we had a restaurant. And she was known for her cake, like my sister was known for her cake, especially the pound cake. Both my grandmothers, they had this, they cooked, and they were known for their cake on both sides. Big Mama say, when Miss Betty Crocker came out, that's what she called her. She said she decided, she told Miss Lola, she said, I'm going to try one of these Betty Crocker's cakes. Well, my other grandma, my daddy's mama, told Big Mama that she would never put one of those cakes in her mouth. But Big Mama said that she told me this, that she wanted to try this out. And she said that she didn't read the directions of how to make this cake. She throws some Big Mama in it, she said, and the cake failed. And she said she called Miss Lola, that they call each other by those names, which is my other grandmother, and told her what had happened. And she said that when she looked up on the back of that cake book, that what she read across there, she immediately went and put it on her Bible. And the words that was on there, it says, for the best results, follow the direction. Now, I got the Bible that Big Mama put that message on when she messed up with that cake by putting Big Mama in it. She said that statement on there meant more to her than anything. It was so much wisdom and knowledge that if you follow the instructions that is given to you, you get the best results. So when we follow the instructions or the protocol, we're going to get the best damn results out of what these stories, as we have learned this, the way we have studied this, because it was some people, they knew that at a time period, Brother Drew, that it was a small remnant of people would understand the truth of what was brought over here from the east to the west. And that's why they tell you in the Bible that a certain generation at a certain time, nothing would be hidden from that generation. Well, that happened in 1960. That happened with the coming of Malachi York, pumping information into the black community that was given to him by the Jews. These same Jews right here. They gave them the story. We said he was crazy as hell. They gave the story of Islam to Elijah Muhammad in 32. In the 30s, to wake you up that Christianity, the ways of the Goheen, was not your way. That your parents had taught you right, that it was best for you to be a Muslim than to be a Christian. Then in the 60s, they woke you up to Hebrew Israelite. And then it was better for you to be a Hebrew Israelite than a Christian. And you've seen a great aqueduct. This is your aqueduct, that people exiting Christianity and becoming Hebrew Israelite, Muslim, Yahwehism. They got out of Christianity, and their dietary laws changed. And their minds changed. And their name changed. One of the greatest things that Elijah Muhammad said, you can't change your mind if you don't change your name. And we see how effective what he said right now by reading these stories, following instructions in this book. That's exactly what it says. A mind is a school of thought. So the story of Abraham tells you that his parents was wrong. So the first thing our minds have got to understand is that our parents taught us wrong. And if you want to stay wrong with them, then this book tells you what will happen if you stay wrong with them. Now, if we go into Leviticus, the 11th chapter of Leviticus, Brother Drew, is where you see clean and unclean food, meaning there were some animals that you could eat if processed a certain way, meaning that you had to take the blood out of them. The Jews call it kosher, and the Muslims call it halal. But you couldn't eat the blood of an animal. Now, they knew that if you ate the blood of an animal during this period of time, from 1889 to 1989, so what the hell your ass gonna see if you ate this shit? If you broke these laws, what was gonna happen to you? So when we read Leviticus, and you breaking at a certain period of time that the moral laws that was in this book, those 613 moral laws, it would come a period in time of a generation of people and an age, Brother Drew, it tell you in the book of Matthew, it would come at an age and a generation. Then we go back into the 30th chapter of Proverbs, tell you where there would be a generation of people and how they would act. So we're looking for this to appear this shit was going to appear between this time period. So this school of thoughts appeared in the 70s. These people, when we trace this history, we trace this history just like they knew what was going to happen to the Jew before it happened. For the simple reason, if you've been genocized and it took 450 years for this to happen. It didn't happen overnight, Brother Drew. It took 450 years for it to happen. You had to know that when you came over here and when your 450 years ended. So you came over here in 1555 and you put 450 years on the 1555, that would give you 2000, if I'm not mistaken. That was 0, 0, 1. That would give you 2000, the year 2005 was 450 years of them genocizing you. And after 450 years, 95% of the people will be genocided, meaning that the people that did the Ecuador in 1974, when Elijah Muhammad died, that was the end of the Ecuador of people exiting out of Christianity and going into the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam, the people you see in the Nation of Islam, especially this year, Brother Drew, they don't know a damn thing about Christianity, but their mamas and daddies was Christianity. Uh-huh. That's just like my daughter. That's just like my daughter. They're like your daughters and stuff. Their mamas and daddies was Muslims, but they was brought out of there. But their daddy was Christians before they became Muslims. But these right. children ain't never been exposed in their 20s. And see, like my grandbaby, 22, Keela, 125, Courtney. They ain't never been exposed to that Christianity shit. So you got another nation of people, another generation of people that done growed up with not that mindset. But you can see right. where those are the people that exit, and those that stayed over you, they call themselves Christian now, that stayed over with the Goheen, the teaching of the Goheen, that tell us. Then they tell you about a certain age that we would come into, where we come into that age right now. If we go and look in this book, it says that this world, this generation, and we're down to five generations. Now, the 450 years, that's 18 generations. That's 18 generations up under the teaching of the white man. And you up, don't say you ain't up under that teaching, because when your ass goes to their public school system, you up under their teaching. So you see, the masses of black people in America, this ex-slave, go to this school. He up under that, and most of them are Christians. They believe in that school of thought. So you see where they on a dead level, and you can see where their mind has been told to conquer. But your mind had to realize this, what was going on, your Brother Drew. Now, it's very interesting that they say that the days would look like Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that period in time started with Linda Lovelace, which would be 1970. And that in there. So look what we had in 1970. We had Superfly in 1970. We had just came out of Vietnam and we were smoking good weed. They took Panama Red off the market. They took Bo off the market, that old dirt boat, what we call a dirt boat. They took it off the market. You couldn't get it anymore. And they brought Sesamia on. So you had Sesamia for a little while. And then they took Sesamia away and brought in skunk weed. By 1970, they were bringing Mexican weed in, and then you had to grow your own skunk weed. It started being hard to get skunk weed. And then they brought crack, cocaine, into the community. But they go back in 1950 and made a project out of you. And by making a project out of you, when you moved out of the South to the cities up in Chicago, New York, up north, they made a project out of you. And by the end, from 1950 to 1970, your project has become the slums. Because you went through from your project, the first 5-10 years you was in the project, you renamed the project the Jets. Then the Jets become the hood. Then the hood became the ghetto. Then the ghetto became the slum. And your community went through all these goddamn changes in name in that time period, Brother Drew. All this shit is talked about in the protocol. And this is why we can see and break it down, because everything is dealing with a time period. You go back into 1889, it said that America would come into an industrial age. And so that's when they came into the age of industrial. All the immigrants came over from overseas. They said they would put all the immigrants over here. They would bring in the Irish, the Scottish, and everything that they brought in over here that the protocol said that they would have. See, the protocols said they created all of this. They suggested this to the Goyim and made him do this. They made puppets out of him because they took all of the criminals and the hoodlums and everything and brought them to this country here. And you go back into the gangs of the early immigrants that come over here. You got your Al Capones, you got your gang of New York. They made movies about the shit. All of the hoodlums and the thugs, you went through that prohibition, that all of that time period, that the falling of the bank system, because they say after you fought, protocols say after you fought two wars, you were bankrupted with them, and they would create this depression. Well, you had World War II and the Spanish War that America had fought. They borrowed money from them. They get ready for World War II in Korea and Japan and Vietnam. So America, they said after two wars, they own all the land in any country that had borrowed money from them to fight the wars and all the Germanic race of people. Magog and Gog and Tubal, they call it, would have done this. So we could, when we come into this knowledge, we could see all of this shit. And Magog and Gog, Magog would change his name and hide in the West. They've told you that in Revelation, the beast. And they, let me. I forgot one part, Brother Drew. The 11th chapter of Leviticus, clean food and unclean food. At the end of that chapter, Brother Drew, you'll read, if you broke the laws of the beast, now this was what they called in Leviticus 11, clean and unclean, you will become obese and a beast of the field. Well, we see right now, everybody in America is obese. The simple reason of how many years that they didn't let the church been up under, what? Since the 16th century of the Reformation of the church, they lived under these grace from these laws and said that you could eat anything, especially this swine. And look at you now. You obese. Everybody in America is obese. The book tell you that you will see this. You will see this just from breaking these laws. You become the beast of the field. Well, what are they saying? They're saying that you were a supreme being, which is a human being. And the book told you that he was the beast man, mankind, the beast of the field, the number six. Your number is five, and the man and beast is six. But he got you thinking through Christianity, his school of thought, that your number is what? Six. So that makes you the beast man with him. You follow me, Brother Drew? What this book is saying. This book is saying that if you broke these laws, these dietary laws, you become obese, beast of the field. Well, everybody in America's the most obese country in the world because of Christianity. They live up under no moral laws. This book says you could see this at a certain time period. So America came into this goddamn knowledge around about 1990. We can go back and check the stats of when America become obese to where we'll go, shit, when we were coming up, everybody was lean and slim. Everybody, look at Martin Luther King, how them teenagers look. Look at the teenagers now. See, you're dealing with five generations of the wall babies, the baby boomers, the X, Y, and millennium, and Z generation of people. We're dealing with those generations of people right now. After this 450 years, you have to realize this 450 years that passed on you. Because right now, Brother Drew, we're in the 460th year. From 1555, it's 460 years. So that's the reason you can see the mindset of the people. If you notice, Brother Drew, in the last 2 years or so, and it becomes fanatical now because I'm seeing old, ignorant-ass Christian women coming into the church. Saw one at church, three of them at church, in their 50s and 60s with purple hair.
Right, I see it every day somewhere.
And I've seen one with orange hair coming. They old. They baby boomers. Well, in the days of Jezebel and Sodom and Gomorrah, this is the way that women wore their hair, all different colors. They made movies to show you that. They say history will repeat itself because of what this book will say. About a history repeat itself, they told you this nation was Sodom and Gomorrah. Your president of the United States, they tell you in protocol number seven that when they get the ex-slave as the president, then what was going to happen? That happened because they created it. And when the White House became the Black House, it became the Rainbow House. And that's why the gays have so much right now, because they orchestrated this. And it never ceases to amaze me, Brother Drew, how they say they conquered the mind of the people. They conquered the mind of the people with three words. They say God, freedom, and people's right is an idea that ain't a reality. But the people believe that they have a God and they have freedom and they have people's rights. The only way that you get them to fight, but if we go in the dictionary, look up the word freedom, it says one who is free from government rule. Well, common sense should tell us that ain't nobody goddamn got freedom. But they'll say you'll go to war and fight and die in the name of freedom. Actually, this is the word that they gave to the Goheen, not to us. And that we had to realize at a certain period of time that these three words was only a fucking idea in up under this government system. Yeah, I find it simply amazing that some of us is waking up, but the majority, just like this book said. And that's the reason, brother, too, that the people that done come out, it ain't that many more people over here that's going to come out, brother, too, simply because the one word that the protocol said that they conquered the Goheen with, G-O-D, God, something that didn't exist. Now, when we go back into the Bible, in that two times, the book was saying they gave you two witnesses. You had to look at it real close. That's what Big Mama taught me, you know, two witnesses in the Bible. Then that statement had to be true. It was very important that you analyze what it said. So when we go to Deuteronomy the 5th chapter and Exodus the 20th chapter, we'll see the Ten Commandments that it says, "There shall have no God before me." Now, before it was went through all these translations, it says, "There shall have no God before Yah." The teaching of Yah. Not a God. Yah, I mean, Yah is not a God. The teaching of Yahweh is not based upon a God teacher. It's based upon laws and commandments that was given by a mother and a father. See, the first five commandments deal with this word God. Number five is power. It tells you don't have any God before you. Don't make graven images of God. Now, we're looking for a race of people. If they done made graven images of God, and if they believe in God, well, then that's the wrong way. That ain't the right way. That's the wrong way. And remember, then, the protocol and all this is based upon the 12 laws of the nature. The second law, either you is or you ain't. You ain't no goddamn in-between. You either is or you ain't. You either right or your ass either wrong. And your mind had to realize that. It ain't no like in between. Like I hear a lot of black folks say, all white folks ain't bad. Some white folks is good. That ain't what this goddamn Bible say. The Bible say that the Goheen, that Magog and God, who named himself America, May the 1st, 1776. The first American was John Hancock. He renamed his thing here. And you don't know a goddamn thing about Magog, not unless you wouldn't face a whole lot of history. So this man that called himself an American and let everybody else come in, called himself America, he hid in the Western Hemisphere what he renamed America. His school of thoughts and all his ancient history, he hid. That's how he got control. Because, see, he was an Anglo-Saxon that got control of this country. Not the Great Britain. Great Britain was first in control of this country, and then they lost control, and now they're going to come back in control, and the book protocol tell you when they come back in control, which is New World Order, which is nothing but the whole orchid coming back into existence, meaning that the democratic form of government, which is a socialist form of government, and the South ran through, would rise again through the Democratic Party. We see that right now. That's how the South ran. That's why it's very crucial for you to get the book by Booker T. Washington, because he wrote from a time period, and you can see that he was arguing with a coon-ass nigga named Du Bois, and the people went with the coon ass nigga and wouldn't go with the field nigga who was teaching you, you need to be a field nigga and not be a half nigga. That's what Booker T was saying, because Booker T said your ass need to be sharecropping. The boys will say you need to go to the white man's school and learn how to be like him. Booker T was against that. Well, we can see in 2016, from 1877, we got all of this time period in there, who the fuck was right. Booker T was right, the boys was wrong. Now we can go to 1932. Here's Elijah Muhammad. 1950 is Martin Luther King. Is 1960 these two leaders. Elijah Muhammad say what? Come out of her, my people. Martin Luther King say, I see little white children and black children holding hands. You want to hold their hand, but they don't want to hold yours. So how you know that they don't want to hold your goddamn ass? In 1870, from 1870 to 1970 is 100 damn years, Brother Drew. And it takes the Sanhedrin to meet them 100 years. They put a time period in that. It took 100 years for you to go to school with this crap. The South was the last one to sign. Louisiana signed 5 minutes before deadline, 12 o'clock, December 31st, 1969. January 1st, 1970, all the school system had been, don't you gonna lose your federal funds. But the South did not sign that bill to 30 minutes, so they didn't want to be with your ass and still don't want to be with your ass. Ain't no Southern cracker wanted to integrate with no nigger. Now, in 2016, we can clearly see what Elijah Muhammad said, come out of her, my people, get your own shit, buy your land, become a nation of people, do like the Amish people did. Well, we can see that Elijah Muhammad told the truth, and Martin Luther right. King wanted to hold hands with little white, told a goddamn lie. And then we can go back into the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, and Deuteronomy 13th verse gave us some more instruction. It says, well, in order for you to know who's the right prophet, what he prophesied had to come true. Now, his ass wasn't no prophet. So we know what these two people, which was black leaders, renowned black leaders in our community, we call them liars for 2016, goddammit, me and you and anybody else that got goddamn sense when it's explained like this to them, see who told a lie and who told the truth. Because Washington said, two things that would be the downfall of the future of the American Negro would be Christianity and voting, because they had took away your political party and you had no more power, no more. And who took that motherfucker away was the Dixiecrat, who is known as the Democratic Party. And all of these years, you can look back through the years, because ignorant-ass black folks, and I never was one of them, but my mama was, but my daddy wasn't, so he didn't vote. Voted straight ticket, Democrat, and put Henry Wade, George Wallace, Duke, all the goddamn Ku Klux Klans in the South, governors, in office 50 and 60 years. The protocol say that they would do you like this. He said that that's the way you would be. The Bible tells you the story of an ignorant-ass nation of people. that would even speak that they were Gentiles. Something from what white folks say was the curse of Ham. Well, the curse of Ham in 2016, Brother Drew, is anybody that looked like me and you think that he is a Gentile and think that the ways of the Gentiles that was taught to you is correct. When we go into the 10th chapter of Matthew, the hippie on the stick talking, the hippie on the stick gave his disciples commandments of how to preach and teach his gospel, Brother Drew. They put it at the 10th chapter of Matthew's. The number 10 is whose number? That's Yah's number, right? Amen, Yah's number. The number 10. The first commandment that the hippie on the stick gave him, and it reads, your first commandment, do not go in the way of the Gentiles. That let me know one goddamn thing that ain't no damn preacher can read and comprehend what that says. That this hippie on the stick, who they say is their God and Lord and Savior, died for them. Who they say that up on the Paulinian teaching, because the hippie on the stick ain't said that. Not Jesus the Nazarene. That's the teaching of Jesus the Christ. 275 years after the Nazarene died, this teaching came through 21 ecclesiastical councils, through the Latin-speaking people called Romans, which is who? A goddamn Gentile. The worst one of them tribes, Magog and Gog, and Tubal, just as children. So in 2016, we can follow this history, Brother Drew, by following the key of the Bible. That's the reason Colgate told us the key word study Bible, Hebrew study Bible. You come out of this book, the word key in the Masonic laws, the key locks and unlocks knowledge. So knowledge has been locked up in this book because it has been up under the codes and symbols of the Zionist Jew. But he gave us books and knowledge that at a certain period of time, he would see us unlocking the knowledge. And it's funny because he would go in the book of Daniel. He said that the book was closed and a new book would be written on the other side. Now, in 1881, they knew that the book was going to be wrote on the other side because they were going to... Designers were going to put this knowledge out and you would see this coming. So you and I, Brother Drew, is prophecy to the Zionist Jew as we speak right now. He see us. He hear us. Because why? He told you point blank. He on all the airways, all the media. So he hear us. He hear us teaching this knowledge. But he also know only a pitiful few is gone to be able to their minds to come into this knowledge. Only a pitiful few would be able to gain this knowledge. He told us in this book, Brother Drew, that when we would see a time period that would come into existence where in the book of Isaiah, we go back into the hippie told us not to go in the ways of the Gentiles. That was his first commandment, if you understand that. Then he said in the 10th chapter that his disciples, what you look for in his disciples, And if we didn't see that, Brother Drew, if they wasn't following his instructions, then they wouldn't win him. So he said he told his disciples, don't take no food, no money, no nothing to preach his gospel. He said, there will come a time that I would say, pardon ye workers of iniquity. The shepherds would have led you astray. It tells you in that Bible that anybody calling me Christ, believe them not. And if you did come in Christ's name, he told you in Matthew, that it would create division amongst the mother, the father, the sister, the brother. And this story, I can tell you this story is right here in the book. Now, let us analyze what he said. Now, we know in 2016 that the teaching of Jesus Christ got 450 different denominations up under three different teachings of the Angelic Gospel Christian Church, of the High Church, Low Church, Broad Church, and Revelation 2 told you that Jesus hated the Nicolaitan teaching, which is the Nicolaitan teaching. That's a sign for us that this teaching was incorrect for Christianity. And teaching him up under 450 different denominations, they can't agree upon anything, and they all say they Christians coming in his name. He said, you will see this at a certain period of time, and he would say, pardon ye workers of iniquity. That's a cue for us. And when we look out here, what the fuck do we see? We see the Methodist Church, the Apostle Creed, the Nicene Creed Church, the Baptist Church, and the Tertullian Creed Church, which is the Sanctified Church, and the T.D. Jakes, and the non-denomination, and your mega churches. And he told you what the shepherds would be teaching you. They had led your ass astray. $12, they be $5 bill. They preach you the gospel of prosperity, which that's what they teach you. I mean, the book, Brother Drew, I see, it was up, getting close to that time. How much time we got, Brother Drew?
About 4 minutes.
Yeah. And see, Brother Drew, all we got to do is tell the, and that's what I'm gonna, we gonna do, is tell the protocol and these stories out of this three books. Because it tells us of what to look for that would be going on between 1889 and 1989, and we 27 years after that, after 1989, shit, this shit is off the chain. And
right.
If we go into the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, we ask ourselves a question. The Shema, which I'm going to say, Shema Yehawadah, Yah, Abinyah, Ikah. They had to say this at 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. And by 9 o'clock, their custom was that you were dreaming about waking up at 5 o'clock so your butt could say your prayers at 6 o'clock. And you had 8 hours of sleep there. You had the numbers right up of how you rested your body for a certain period of time all the way to Shabbat when you rested about it for 24 hours. All of these customs line up, but they tell you in that scripture, the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, that everywhere you see in your house, you're supposed to see the Shema. For some reason, they had a custom that you say the Shema that many times a day, on every 3 hours, then they realized that they had to do that for one simple reason, Brother Drew, so you wouldn't forget. And you had to do this for the rest of your life. So it looked like that if you waited 4 hours and didn't say the Shema, then your ass forgot what the Shema teaching was. I mean, and if you ask in a Christian, but what the Shema is, they don't know a damn thing about the Shema. They don't know this. They don't know that you were supposed to teach your child this. And you say you with Jesus. this Nazarene, that's the reason you had to know it's two teachings, it's two Jesus. It's actually four Jesus. And we'll continue this story next week, Brother Drew. Until then, I'll say, Shema Yah, Aben Yah, Yikah, Kabbalah Yah, Shabbat Shalom.